Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
Welcome back to another show of Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, the Mullet himself, here at Quiller's Canteen in the Gold Coast of Australia for another Australian edition of the show. Even, yeah, we are from Australia, folks, and I am Australian, but we're going to give you some Australian cinema to look at today, and none other than celebrating another film of Yahoo Serious.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, folks, this Friday, a brand new show is going to be launched on the network, which is, of course, A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy podcast, which I'm going to run a promo for you very, very soon. And, of course, this is a co-production between the Lethal Mullet Network and, of course, Spacebook Network. That is, of course, the Type 41 as well. Run by, of course, Dan Hadley, or as we like to call him, Dan the Man from Birmingham. And, of course, he'll be giving us all his knowledge on, of course, UK sci-fi and more with that show. And, of course, it's a celebration of Douglas Adams. It is called Deep Thought. And that is, of course, Deep Thought, Life, Douglas Adams, and Everything. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about Deep Thought. And Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. Who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts. That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought, Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back. Some other news we've got is we're doing a lot of scheduling of what's going to be happening in the second half of this year, and of course, particularly for the network. So we've got a lot of great action movies for you folks, and sci-fi too, and a little bit of comedy. We've got things like, we've got Peter Weller's Screamers, which is a great B-grade from back in the late 90s. We've also got The Transporter. Of course, Jason Statham. We've never done it, folks, and it's a massive action film. You know it, I know it. Of course, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be doing Brian Bosworth's Stone Cold very soon. Avengement with our pal Scott from the UK, of course. Circle of Iron, which was originally a Bruce Lee film. And, of course, The Untouchables is just around the corner as well. Yes, folks, you guys have asked for more Sean. Yes, get your badge, get your gun. That's right. It's all going to be happening here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Some great and different eclectic films, along with a whole other bunch of B-grades. So even though it's a schedule, we will pop in some other episodes from time to time when new action movies come out and stuff like that. And we'll let you know when those pop up. And, of course, some great ones coming up with Lee Fillingsness and a few of the others from, of course, the Phantom Podcast Network, all popping in to say hi.
Please hang up and try again.
Now it's time for the Lethal Mullet Cafe, as we chill back, relax, and look at the trivia. All the detail, the nitty-gritty of the films we are celebrating.
So one of the series we're going to be covering soon is, of course, the Desperado series. Antonio Banderas, of course, being the key lead in that series. And, of course, you know, started out with a very low-budget film, El Mariachi, and then moved on to, of course, Desperado. And, of course, the big one that Robert Rodriguez rounded out off with Once Upon a Time in Mexico. All three are quite enjoyable and fun flicks. And really, if you haven't really gotten into Robert Rodriguez's films, either those ones he's done here or even ones he's done with, of course, Quentin Tarantino, Planet Terror and Death Proof, those are the sorts of ones which, you know, you really get a good sense of who this creative genius really is. You know, it's an amazing series. But we're going to cover those soon, and it'll just be one big special. What I love about that series is not only does it play to, obviously, the action movie quota and stuff like that. There's music involved, comedy, and a really interesting cast. I mean, you go back, I mean, Danny Trejo, that's where I first saw him, was in this series, and I saw that on VHS. That's how long ago. And, you know, we really get a sense of that. A lot of these background, villains and a lot of the great day players that turn up and basically have as much character as the lead is what makes it interesting. You know, these are great, talented people who made some of the most enjoyable action cinema of that time. So I can't wait to get into it, folks. I really enjoy those movies. And now I'm going to be enjoying it on the big screen. Yes, that's right. Lethal Mullet Studios here has its own big screen now. That's right, projector, the whole thing and everything. So everything we review now on the show, I'm going to be watching on the big screen before I watch it, like I used to. I used to just watch it on LCD TV like everyone else, but not any longer, folks. We're going big scale.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah, man, it's been real busy day, you know.
Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage and enjoy the show about, you know, films and all that sort of stuff.
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
Yahoo! It's just as Australian as anything, isn't it? Yahoo Serious. Yep. What a legend. One of my favorite actors and creatives, directors, what do you even call it? We've already talked about one of the great films, Young Einstein, which I do love, folks. I mean, that was such a huge one in 88. It would have been in grade 4 or 5 at the time, or grade 5. Everything down from the comedy itself to the idea of, you know, creating rock and roll. Albert Einstein creating rock and roll. It was huge, such a huge thing. But, of course, one of the themes that he was doing was, you know, as a creator, was basically coming up with a fictional history of, and a comedic one of characters from all over history. This time he picked an Australian one. That is, of course, Ned Kelly. Now, Ned Kelly, no bones about it, was criminal, murderer, all that sort of stuff, you know, and obviously in some ways considered a bit of a folklore hero to some as well. But, you know, again, somebody that was a bushranger. So a bushranger is basically an outlaw. A bushranger is, taken from even from the days of the outlaws in the UK, the highwaymen, those that used to, you know, hold up stagecoaches, all that sort of stuff. Similar idea, bushrangers were that, you know, they used to live off the land and, basically attack people, obviously, you know, burgle, all that sort of stuff, and obviously hold them up. Or bail them up, as they used to say. And Ned Kelly, obviously, is the most iconic, even though probably one of the less successful ones when it comes down to that sort of thing, too. Captured and, of course, hung for his crimes at Glenrowan. But one of the interesting things about is, I think, the iconic suit of armour
you know, like in Star Wars, obviously you've got characters like Boba Fett. Not a lot's known about the inside of the man in the suit, you know, but there's more about the actual armor that people knew and, you know, fed off what it was. But what's interesting about Ned Kelly is that, you know, there was a man inside the armor, and that was an interesting story. It was, you know, the Irish settlers versus the British Commonwealth, you know, and it was that sort of a backdrop, which was always making things interesting. Because then comes along the man that created young Einstein and says, you know, we've got to do something about a new film and something to do with more Australian history, in this case, Ned Kelly. And it certainly is, in my mind, I think, actually a more successful attempt at doing what he was setting out to do. And again, he'd learned from what he'd done before, which makes it just as, you know, eccentric, but also just as fun. So, in this one, the main thrust of the film is there's a descendant of the Australian outlaw, so not the same Ned Kelly, uses the same ways of Ned Kelly of the past to keep the family island he has from being sold to a Japanese company that's trying to buy off the company. And, you know, when you first see that idea, you don't think it's going to be getting as outlandish as it gets in the movie, but it does, you know, it gets out of there. It was released on the 6th of May 1994 in the US. I do believe it was around the same time for Australia. And it's got a better cast, I think, than the previous film. We'll quickly get into that now before we get into the thrust of the movie. So Yahoo Series plays the descendant of Ned Kelly, named Ned Kelly. Hugo Weaving plays Sir John, pretty much runs the bank and the conglomerate that's trying to buy the island. His wife, that is Yahoo Series' wife, plays one of the Hollywood people in it. And there's, of course, Lulu Pincus. And we got Melora Hardin plays Robin Banks. Get it? Robin Banks. And she's one of the people that works in the bank that's obviously involved in wanting to keep everything going and stuff like that. But also, she gets to know Ned Kelly's side of the story. We'll get into that, obviously. We've got Alexei Sale plays Major Wibb, and is quite an outlandish character. He's certainly a great actor. He's an English actor. He's an author, stand-up comic, and a lot of the stuff he's done over the years is also in front of the TV camera, so doing presenting, and he's also done some recording as well, too. But also, I think one of the great things is just that he really plays that British officer sort of thing really well, and quite good into. I mean, he was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, folks. Carry On movies, Carry On Columbus 1992. It was in the Supergrass as well, and Gorky Park as well. So, you know, he's been in some pretty big things, and what I think too is he really hams up that British officer mentality. And he's obviously the linchpin for the bank to get out and try and, you know, regain any funds they've got stolen from by Ned Kelly. Tracy Mann plays Miss Twisty. Kathleen Freeman plays Mrs. DeLance. John Pinnett plays Sam DeLance. Now, these are the ones that basically come in and help in Hollywood when we get the character over there and, you know, joining film circuit sort of stuff. John is an American comedian. He's a stand-up comic, Broadway performer as well, and you see him a lot of the circuit over the years. I've seen him in quite a few. I do believe it's the Australian ones that have had out here too, and all through the 90s and stuff like that too. We've got Martin Ferrero plays Ernie the Fan. Bob Marzer plays Dan Kelly. Anthony Aykroyd plays Joe Kelly, and Max Walker. Yes, Max Walker, folks, plays the newsreader. Now, for you overseas that don't know cricket, Max Walker was one of the greatest cricketers and also funniest commentators once he retired from professional cricket out there. He was known as Maxie, and of course he is known for his moustache and his larrikin behaviour, larrikin being funny, outlandish, what even to call it too. But what's great about, you know, Max being in this, it really times it down to when it was, which was 1993. And I've got to tell you, folks, it doesn't feel that long ago. So the movie, you know, it certainly feels Like, it hasn't dated that much, but when you watch it, you certainly get a feel of the 90s flavour. You know, and I think that's what really made me, you know, want to watch it on the big screen first. So it's one of the things I definitely had on digital and pumped up on the projector. And I tell you what, folks, the thing that kicked in first for me was the amazing song at the start. And we'll get into some of the music too, folks. And I can tell you, Yothu Yindi is one of my favorites back then, folks. And that song still, the big band he had behind it, really got it going. And we'll talk about that song very, very soon. Directed by Yahoo Sirius, written by, of course, Yahoo Warwick and David Roach, and Lulu Pincus as well, which is interesting. So good to see. Also produced by Yahoo and Warwick Ross, which I don't know if he produced the other one. So it's interesting to see. Music by, of course, Tommy Tycho and Anthony Marinelli. Distributed by Roadshow in Australia and, of course, worldwide, because of their partnership with, of course, Warner Brothers. And the big part of that is, too, folks, down here in the Gold Coast, we have Movie World, which is, of course, the Warner Brothers theme park. And it was opened by Clint Eastwood, folks, if you didn't know that. So there you go. One of the interesting things, too, is that Roadshow Entertainment have their huge studio system next door. And I think it's at least a park of six separate studio rooms as well, too. So interesting. Release date in Australia with the 8th of April, 1993. There you go. So it was a tiny bit earlier. Running time is 103 minutes. Interesting. And 80 minutes. Interesting. I'm going to have a look at the copy I've got. Now, folks, I do have a DVD copy and, of course, the digital version, which I'm pretty sure exactly the same. And it says the running time is 81 minutes. There you go. So I don't know where they got the 100 minutes from, because this version's certainly not that big. Budget was $20 million, and Australian box office it made $5 million and a half, so $5.5 million roughly back. Interesting. So what's it all about? Well, it's a modern-day Ned Kelly, who, just like his folklore, you know, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it is, robs banks in Australia, and what he does with the money, he's like Robin Hood. He gives away the money to the poor. But out of all this that happens, he's forced to go to Hollywood to make enough money, and this is to save the family island. So he's got his own, it's the Glen Rowan pub, it's got everything that would be part of the family history, and it goes against his belief of basically doing. He cannot simply just go over and rob banks for his own takings. So he's forced to find another way to come up with the $1 million required to save the family island. And, of course, this is when the movie producers get involved. So what is great about this movie is a satire at its greatest degree, because it's a piss take on all the action heroes of the 90s, but also violence, guns, all that sort of stuff, you know, because, of course, if you're bushranger, you've got to have a gun, don't you? It is interesting. The film was completely financed by Warner Brothers, Village Roadshow, and, of course, the Film Finance Commission. And, of course, this is pretty much the same creative team behind Young Einstein. And, honestly, folks, you can feel it, because it's, you know, it's in parts it feels like different comedy skits brought together, but also, you know, taking the piss out of different things that are, you know, part of our pop culture, all that sort of stuff, and, of course, what it means to be dealing with banks in particular, which I thought was quite good in this too. You know, and it really is. It is a funny one too. But, you know, it's what makes things just as powerful, I think, too. And it was, you know, I think by the most part, a lot of people found this to be a lot more fun. The critics probably weren't so much in there, you know. Again, you know, critics talked about the comedy, some gags here and there, some plot twists that were great. But, of course, you know, a lot of the big things that he was trying to do in this was also put messages in there subliminally of, obviously, clearly he was, you know, aiming to, you know, get these messages out about things about the environment, obviously saving your own home, you know, is one big thing that's definitely a part of this, you know. And I think, too, you know, not letting international conglomerates or companies come in and buy up your own land. That's a big part of the message of the film. And particularly as we go through the film, we see at the end them literally, the company that's trying to buy it, drag it away by tugboat, you know, with everything, even with the whole rope attached to the island. So, you know, it's figuratively and also subliminally there as a message. But I think also, too, just the, you know, there's no need for hate and violence. And, of course, the big thing, banks. How much banks really, you know, run our lives and take from us. And it's a big part of it. I mean, apart from that, it is some great gags in there. And I think the character rings truer than young Einstein in some ways. I love what he's done with it. And the fact that, you know, he goes through these different parts where that's, you know, obviously the first probably 20 minutes or so is what we're seeing what the character does, which is obviously break into banks and steal, and then, of course, give it to, you know, those in need. But that Laurent is obviously seeing that he's in need to try and save his people, save his island. And from there, obviously, it goes all the way over to the United States. And we really see a bit of a satire against Hollywood. And maybe it's Yahoo Sirius's look at, you know, what was happening in the Hollywood cinema at the time, and obviously action films and, you know, gun-fueled violence on screen, things like that. But it's done in such a tongue-in-cheek way that you get around it being super serious. But I think it really, really works. And it was a lot of fun. All right, so the actual film has some fantastic music, folks, from Australian artists that you all know extremely well. NXS does Born to be Wild, and it's quite a good cover of the song Born to be Wild, folks. It's really good. The Jukes do I Fought the Law. You know, I fought the law, but I won. The Divinals had a single out of the time, Wild Thing. So what's great about that cover is that it really got around, and it had it on Rage out here in Australia. On I think it got right up the charts, if I believe, there too. Now, Yothu Yindi, of course, with Japana. Japana was a great song at the time, huge when it came to how popular it was. Amazing musician and singer. But what I love about that song is that it really brings you in at the start of this film in particular. And it's done with this aerial shot, which is going over the water towards the island. It's absolutely beautiful. Mendel Is Anything do the song Ride. Handle the Fame by Anthony Warlow. Happiness Is a Warm Gun, the Jukes again. The Reckless Angels by Yahoo Sirius himself. Looks like a soundbite more than anything. From a Million Miles, The Single Gun Theory, The Jukes again with Faith, and As You Like It by Steve Kilby, Bedazzled by Succotash, Reckless by, of course, James Rain. Now, if you know anything about Australian music, of course, James Rain's one of the long-time running pop singers, rock singers of the early 80s. A lot of his stuff was all the way through. He went to the United States for a little while as well, but a lot of fun. Also, we've got Happy On My Way by Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, Such Is Life, and of course the other one is Handle the Fame by Anthony Warlow. Now, what a great you know, bunch of songs. It was a lot of fun, and that's what I love about anything Yahoo Sirius did. Always had a great amount of music behind it, and it was always some great Aussie artists and stuff like that that always you know, made, I think, if anything, the homegrown feel of these films come through and shine, and they're just a lot of fun. I mean, they really rock. I've got the original Young Einstein soundtrack on LP, folks, and I'll put it on once, at least once a month, and just crank it. And, you know, if you've got a decent LP player, it really comes up really, really nice. Reckless Kelly's got some great scenes, folks, on it. Obviously, it's a really good homage to comedy at the time, too. Some of the greats in this have obviously been you know, the crew behind the scenes getting these films out there. And I think the great thing about this one is it gave something a bit different to the mythology of Ned Kelly in this fictional futuristic version of the character. This gets 4 out of 5 stars on the one, the only Hallenbeck scale here on the Lethal Mullet podcast.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shea Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
And I've been working long, long, long days ahead. Working in front of a VHS. You know you've got to listen to that little sound. It comes on grooving down the Gold Coast way. He got a big, long, blonde money, and he watches VHS. You know you want the sound. Bow, oh yeah.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
All right, folks, here we go. Welcome to the cantina.
Let's go.
I'm sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best thing. Watching action movies. Wow, I'm the leader. Whoa, I'm the leader. Whoa, I'm the leader. Chair. Fandom, 'cause I'm sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best thing. Watching action movies. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader. So you join us here on the leader every Monday night
on FBN, folks. We'll catch you then.